There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 641. This is your host, Danny. And joining me this week, co-host of the show, let's go with Pete.
What up, what up, what up? Coming live.
What's going on, man?
Coming live from the jungles of Bolivia. It's Pete.
Wow. Are you far in the game? Are you far in the game or what?
Oh, I'm loving it. I stayed home. I've actually been sick for the past 2 days. Used the opportunity to jump on Emerald and play that for a little bit with my friends. Playing it on PC. I've got like 10 plus hours on PC.
Nice.
I think I like the game.
Okay. So when do you think the official review? You think by next week? Next episode?
I think by next week we'll have enough forward movement into most of the game, if not finished, that I'll give us a good opportunity.
All right. And also joining us, Paris.
Yeah, I gotta agree with Pete. I'm really liking Ghost Recon more, and it's funny because I was starting to not like it during the beta, and I don't know what. And it's only been tiny changes, you know, with the driving and everything going into the final game. But you know, we got our GTR Discord channel, and I was like last night I was playing with a couple of the guys from there, and I was streaming on Twitch, and we were just having a blast. And like Mandy would be jumping in, moderating the Twitch channel, and laughing at us, crashing planes and all that. I'm having fun. I'm having a lot of fun with the game. It's just this open sandbox shooter where this huge world of Bolivia where you can just go do whatever you want, really. And it's a lot of fun.
True, man. And now, how many main bosses have you already finished, you guys?
One.
Are you still... What? So you've been just concentrating on the side quests, right?
Yeah,
That's what I've been doing, not only with Wildlands, but also with Zelda. I've just been doing side quests, not even thinking about the main quests. Because I think I'd rather do that. I think there's so much things to do in the game. Just enjoy it. Take your time. Why rush it, right?
Exactly. Well, why rush it?
I said this on one of our streams where the way I was approaching it was going in, doing one of the main missions to kick off the area, and then spreading out, knocking out all of the objectives, whether it be skill points or weapon boxes, or just pretty much trying to find all of the intel so that by the time I got to the main story or to the end of the main story, I was already essentially, or maybe over leveled for that. It wasn't like I was trying to go into a linear path of just like, all right, like the mistake that I did with Witcher 2 years ago, which was go straight into the main path and figure I'll deal with the side quests later. No, big mistake doing that. I've learned my lesson. Side quest it up and then just knock out the main quest at that point, because then you're sufficiently leveled up to not have that problem. You're not going to be concerned going in. And that sync shot, once you have all of the members lined, like once you have max sync shot, it's OP. Game over.
All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Jump. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, a lot of people have been emailing us about how they could join Discord. Remember, for more information on how to join, I think it's the easiest way, just email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And we could send you a link where you could join. And so far, how many people we have?
I disagree, Danny.
Why do you disagree?
The easiest way is to freaking tweet us, because then we get it right away.
Okay, well, all right. You can tweet us at Gamertag Radio.
There you go.
But remember, there's people out there that don't use Twitter. So I think to make it easier for everyone, just email.
You just have to do it your way. Just admit it.
Yeah.
That's the way
whatever way is easier, to be honest. It's just whatever way is easier to get at us. If you want to hit us up on Facebook, hit us up on Instagram, on Twitter, on all the social media platforms, or just hit us up old school. Hit us up on a fan mail, gamertagradio.com.
Nah, but it's crazy to say that. I think we've been openly talking about this channel for a little over a week and a half now. I mean, I think we already got 100 people in the Discord channel.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. So it's only its own little community now, because I was chatting with people in there right before we started recording. I was testing my microphone on Twitch. Mm-hmm. So I had said something in there. So a bunch of the guys from Discord channel jumped into Twitch with me and was helping me out, giving me feedback and everything. It's good, man. Like I said, I was even playing with the guys in Ghost Recon, and we got all the voice channels set up for various games. So it's fun, man. It's its own little community. It's only going to get bigger. I'm excited about it.
That's cool, man. Quick announcement here. You know, I've been talking about the Messengers, the podcast documentary, now for a while. And they had a first look at during PodFest. I think it was like maybe 80% done, but now it's official. They're gonna have a world premiere screening on March 22nd in Tampa, in this amazing theater called Tampa Theater. Go to tampatheater.org. You can go there and just go to Showtime's ticket area around there on the site, where you could buy some tickets if you want to join and watch this movie. Finally, 100% done with my complete story. Everything is good. It's looking really, really good. I'll tell you this. The guys did came out during the first look version, and I believe they're going to be coming out a lot more on this one. So can't wait to see the final version. And I know a lot of people have been asking me when this is coming on iTunes. It's very, very soon. I'm talking about like way before E3. That's the only hint I can say. Way before E3. But right now they're just gonna do some screenings in different cities and stuff, and we'll see what happens, man. But it's looking really, really good. So the official date, March 22nd at the Tampa Theater. I believe the movie starts at 7:30 p.m. So for more information, just hit me up, Godfrey@gamertaggrid.com, or go to tampatheater.org for more information. And that's about it. All right, and it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
So you notice there's no fan mail by Pete. We're going to change it up a little bit. Let's see what happens. So you're taking a little vacation, Pete. You're taking a little vacation.
All right, I'm out.
All right, he's out. All right, so one question, guys. Before we start with our voicemails, I believe it was one of our listeners, David from the UK. He's a little bit worried. He's a little bit worried that we're concentrating so much on the whole Twitch stream and Facebook Live and so on. He's happy that there's a lot of extra content that, you know, we're engaging with the community and everything, but he's afraid that it might hurt the podcast. What do you guys have to say about that? Because I disagree. I told him that not to worry, but I just want to get opinions from you guys, from P in Paris.
I'd say don't be concerned. I mean, obviously, this isn't a replacement. You know, what you see us doing, whether it's on Facebook Live or Twitch streams, etc., those aren't, we're not, you know, looking for ways to, you know, branch out and stop doing podcasting. It's just an add-on. It's a bonus for you guys. Helps rebuild what was lost, in my opinion, by being able to get out there and get into contact with our community. We used to do that so much on the forums at gamertagradio.com, for a good part over at Uncle Gamer as well, with Paris and Jay and everybody else. This is just our way, whether it's via the chat on Discord, whether it's via the chat on the Twitch streams or what have you. All of this is just a way to get our voices out there and talk to you guys and find out what you guys are doing, and just foster that discussion that's been missing ever since the way of forums kind of disappeared and everybody went to more of a social media aspect of getting, you know, community experience. So don't worry about it, in my opinion. And I don't know if, you know, Paris, Danny, have got any other, you know, intentions or whatever, I doubt it, because we all pretty much think the same. We all have the same belief on this. This is in no way an opportunity for us to try to get out of what you're hearing and what, you know, what you're getting via podcast. These are all just branches of the tree. We're just one big massive oak tree, and we just branching out.
Pete, you can speak for yourself, because Twitch is my exit strategy to get the hell away from both of y'all. So.
There you go. So you don't want to comment though the rest?
No, I mean, obviously, huh? Pete's right. We're not. I mean, hey, we're still doing it two times a week. We're still doing 45 minutes to an hour. It's not taking away from the podcast. The podcast is why we're here. Facebook Live and Twitch and all this other stuff we're doing is just additional content. It's just another way that we can actually communicate with the community, which is a good thing.
All right, cool. All right, so let's play the first voicemail.
Hey guys, this is Kendrick from St. Louis. That's why I'm going to say I love the show and listen to you all the time. Just want to let you know I just got the Nintendo Switch, and I think they got a hit on the hands. Like me, I'm a person, I would never have a 3DS ever. I don't really play mobile games too much or portable games, but I think the idea of playing a console game on the go and also bring it home, put it on your big TV, that's great. And then not only can you play the games on the go, but you actually have controls. You know, I don't think the controllers are the best. I mean, compared to an Xbox controller, it's not, I mean, it can't even compare, but it's good enough. And then I'd probably say for me, what hit home is I was with my son, we're playing in a Denny's, and we broke out Snipper Clips while we were waiting on our food, and just can't do that with anything else. And I just think they got a hit on their hands. But other than that, I want to just say Switch is a hit. But I want to talk about Zelda a little bit. And I called previously before about how easy games get tens nowadays. And I've been playing Zelda a little bit. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of Zelda, but this game is not a 10. This game's a 6 or 7 at best. I mean, first of all, the voice, like nowadays, the game has to have voice acting for everything. I mean, most of the text in this game doesn't have voice acting associated with it, which is a con for me. Secondly, the world is kind of empty, at least how long I've been playing. And you would hear that as a con for most games. Most open world games that say they got this big world, but it's empty. It's not filled with anything. To me, that's Zelda, but no one, I don't really hear that. You know what I'm saying? They praise it. Oh, it's going back to its roots. No, that the combat's pretty mediocre. I mean, you just swing, you know, it's not really complicated. It's not, at least not for me, at least not yet. I haven't really had any complex tactics I had to use. You just swing and kill stuff, and that's pretty much it. I just think they give games 10s way too easy. I think the Switch is a good system, but Zelda, I mean, I think it irks me that they give 10s. Like, the games, I'm trying to 4 10s. It just irks me. I think 10s are reserved for games that transcend a genre. It creates, like, I think Witcher 3 is that. Like, Mass Effect was the best game I ever played. I think they had the best story at the time, but Witcher 3 basically said, look, let me show you how to do it. And they made the game better. Like, the side quests, everything, just everything about the open world was sparse. It wasn't sparse. It just had, it was filled with, you know, activity, side quests, and everything. So I just think they just give 10s too easy. I'll leave it at that and just say, what do you guys think about that? How they give them 10s to these games? And I think I heard what you guys said about the Switch. So I just want to say thanks. Love your show. Talk to you later. Bye.
So he said that Switch is a hit. Thanks for the call. And I agree with him with the whole, like, snipper clips. I've been playing that, like, with my nephews and my brother too, and my fiance, and I love that game. That game, for $20, by far the best local co-op game that I've played in a very long time. So much fun. Zelda, is it overrated? Do you think the media is giving 10s easily to too many games, like Uncharted and now this one, Zelda? What do you guys think?
Can't tell you. I haven't played it.
I think overall, yeah, like he said, I can't comment on Zelda because I've not played it. But I think overall there is some validity. I can't even say it. Good googly moogly. There is some merit to what he's saying about handing out 10s too easily. Because we are starting to see a lot of high scores come. Because I think it's just been so refreshing to see these new games come along that, yeah, they're starting to get high scores again, where we saw for a while it was very tough for games to get high scores. So I'm not saying that Delta doesn't deserve a 10 because I don't know, but you know, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I find this game better than Ocarina of Time, like for years, I've always been saying that Zelda 64 Ocarina of Time has always been my favorite Zelda that I played. And I think this game by far surpassed it by a lot. And the reason why is because it's the freedom of, you know, the whole open world freedom, could go anywhere I want. And the thing is, too, everybody's going to have their own experience when they play the game. You know, like right now, I'm not even concentrating on the main quest. I've been concentrating a lot of just doing side quests, shrine quests, and so on. And I've been having a blast, man. I feel like it's different, and it's a lot of fun. Yes, the difficulty in this game is pretty high, but it's just refreshing to play something that I love so much. You know, like Zelda has been the same for years, for a while, and this one is something different, man. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it so far. And talking to a lot of people that haven't been playing Nintendo in a long time, you know, they bought this just because of the you could play on the go, and of course because of Zelda. A lot of them are saying that it feels like it reminds me a lot of when they first played Ocarina of Time back in the 90s for Nintendo 64. It was like something new and different. That's how I feel right now with this game. And look, you didn't even have to get a Switch. You could get a Wii U for even cheaper and play the Wii U version if you want. It's just that good, man. I'm loving that game so much, man. It's so, so good. So now, is the media giving it too many media sites giving it 10? Not only for this game, but a lot of games, maybe. But at the same time, I think that it's not something that they were planning behind the scenes. Like, hey guys, hey, let's all give it a 10. Let's all give it a 10. Like, come on. I think the majority of people, which is rare, there are journalists that have been reviewing this game. I think a lot of them agree with it, that this is by far the best Zelda game in years. So I think it's a good thing, man. And there's elements of The Witcher in this game, and a combination of like Zelda 64 days too. So it's good, man.
So my question in retort to that is,
yeah,
are people giving it a 10 because it's a departure from what people typically expect from a Zelda game, because it's so vastly different from what they're normally accustomed and used to playing, that it's given the pass, and it's given, not to say that it's just given a free pass to the top of the stairs, but mm-hmm. because it's so different that it's, you know, it's considered game changing in the world of Zelda.
You know what I think it is? I think it's a combination of, if you're a fan of Zelda, you see a lot of the changes. Let's say you never play Zelda and you play this for the first time. I think this game works for both, for fans and not fans of Zelda. And I think Nintendo did it the right way. I know, Pete, you've been asking, you know, if you play this game for the first time and never play the older games, is that going to affect your experience? I don't think so, man. And that's something that a lot of companies been kind of failing at. You know, like, if you're playing for the first time Halo, mm-hmm. man, should I go play the past Halos? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. Like, you play Halo for the first time, and you will be kind of confused. Like, who's this character? What's going on? What's with this? You don't even need to play the past Zelda games, man. And just the environment, you could go anywhere and do whatever you want in the game. I think they did it right, man. They did it right. Now, I don't know how far this he's. I don't know if he's like really far in the game, but I haven't even touched the dungeons yet at all. So I can imagine once you go and check out those like different bosses and so on, it's gonna be a lot of work, man, and challenging too, man. So, but I don't know. I think it's good, man. The game is good. I think I read the other day that this is by far the game with the most best reviews on Metacritic's website, I think I read that somewhere. So I don't know if it's a combination of just hype or people just too excited or what. Me personally, I think that the game is good, man.
Well, again, reviews are subjective. I mean, if you go by certain media outlets, some are more apt to give us a higher score. I'm just looking at one where there's like six different versions of Zelda with all with rankings of 10. Right. And then there's some where, you know, obviously the bigger name ones. And again, I've never played Zelda. I just go by the media critics or the media outlets on this. Ocarina of Time and, yeah. And Breath of the Wild are the more commonly top 10 rated, you know, Zelda game. Is it possible? It's possible. We've seen more recently over the last 4 or 5 years than we have, you know, in the last 20. But mm-hmm. I don't know. Again, rankings for media outlets are subjective to the reviewers. You know, sometimes you agree with them, sometimes you don't. I would rank them based on your own personal experience and not by what is, you know, printed in a media outlet.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. All right, so let's go with the second voicemail. This is from Kyle.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. This is Kyle from Bellevue. Kind of talking about the Switch. I was wondering what you guys think of the potential battery life, because with pulling it out of the dock and putting it back in the dock, you know, your cell phones, your tablets, all this, the more you put it back in on a charger without fully draining the battery, the quicker the battery goes to crack. So are we going to see battery issues with the Switch? Wii U gamepad, those batteries didn't hold up for very long. Just wondering what your guys' thoughts are on it. Thank you. Bye.
All right. So I think we got this question from someone else too a couple months ago before the Switch even came out. Through time, you know, us playing Switch, sometime on the dock, sometime not on a go, or maybe I'll connect it to like charge it, or maybe with a portable battery there, I'll charge it too, and so on. Do you think through time, the battery is going to get messed up?
Yes.
And get old? Yes?
Of course.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Well, now,
go ahead.
We don't know yet because it's too early. I have my 3DS and I charge that device like so many times and it's still good, and I've been having it for years. I even also have the new 3DS and it's still good too. But on the back of the Nintendo Switch, I think there's a way to open it up and maybe change the battery. I hope there's an easy way for us to like maybe purchase a battery in the future. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, we had that issues with the iPads and iPhones, right? It gets older through time.
So Danny, I'm gonna call you on that one. It's not correct. According to the actual specs page on the Nintendo website, it's not removable, unlike
previous devices. Okay.
Unlike like the 3DS where you could remove it and whatever. So you can't get a removable battery. You can't buy like a third-party removable battery. If it needs to be replaced, you have to contact Nintendo customer support and get a paid replacement.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Well, actually, the new 3DS, yes, you can remove the battery, but not the old version.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There answers your question, Kyle.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right. So here's another one. This is from a new listener. This is from Tyler. Let's check it out.
Hey, Gamertag Radio, this is Tyler from Orlando, new listener here. I love what you guys are putting out. So my question is, we are right around the corner from the Nintendo Switch being released, and me and my girlfriend are very excited. So when the Switch got announced and everything, me and my girlfriend watched a little bit of the revealing video, and she thought it was really, really cool. So quite obviously, the next day, I was like, let's go pre-order this thing. So, Luann did it, and she's pretty excited. So, I guess what I'm getting to is, with girls and gaming, what do you guys think are the best games for girls to play and enjoy? Because my girlfriend and I, we had a great time playing Life is Strange. Like, she loves invested in the story and everything, and you know, it was just a wonderful game, and we played the whole thing. It was wonderful. But, you know, she's excited for the Switch, and a lot of the cool stuff, like 1-2 Switch, she's really, like, thinks looks cool, and, you know, she loves Mario and all those characters and everything. So I want to get her more into gaming. I hope the Switch is what will do it. But I also have an Xbox and PlayStation, so I want to get her more into gaming. But what games do you guys think she would like? Let me know. Keep it on. Love listening to you guys on my way to work. Have a wonderful day. Peace.
They're kind of excited about the Switch. I know this voicemail, we received it before the Switch came out. What games should Tyler get for his girlfriend so she could get into games, more into games?
Are we just talking Switch games, or what are we talking here?
Yeah, well, I think he's talking about the Switch. Let's go with the Switch. I could tell you a couple here.
Well, go for it, because you're the only one that has a Switch.
You could go with Mario Kart. That's a really good one. Snipper Clips. That's a good one. I believe Tetris is coming out in a couple weeks. I think in next month, in April. But here's the thing too, man. You know, there's girls that like to play action games or adventure games. So I don't know what you said, that she's really into the whole story. Maybe Zelda will be a good thing for her too, man. That's a great game. You know, so no, but if it's
Splatoon 2 is story based, I would say, if not Breath of the Wild, maybe I Am Setsuna, something like that.
Oh yeah, an RPG game.
Yeah, or Siberia 3. I mean, granted, that Siberia 3 won't come out for, I think, until the end of the year. But it depends on the type of game. If she's looking for action, if she's looking for fun, if she's just looking for mindless platforming, I'd say Rayman Legends, but you can get that on almost every other platform. I'd say maybe pay attention to Twitch or YouTube gaming. See what, you know, follow along on a couple of Let's Plays. You know, see what piques her interest and see what she seems interested in, and then go from there. Really hard to tell.
Yep. Yeah. All right, so this is a great question for P in Paris. Let's play it. It's about Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Hey, what's up, GTR? I want to just say congrats on 12 years of podcasting. Wish you guys the best and many more years to come. So I have two questions that kind of one spawns off the other. With Ghost Recon Wildlands release a week before, Ubisoft revealed the contents of the season pass and also the fact that it will be adding 4v4 PvP. Now, that's great. It's free content. Obviously, the vast scope of the game is an open world game. Maybe kind of left this on the back burner where it was something they wanted to add, but they really couldn't concentrate on it until the game was complete. So my question is, with this Ghost Recon, I believe multiplayer was kind of like a staple of the franchise. Now, obviously, it's a good thing that is being added, but do you think it may fall short in comparison to the quality of, hopefully, the quality of the game, the open world game, the PvE? Right. Now, the next question that spawns off of that is, do you feel the gaming industry is oversaturated with open world games? You know, if I think about the recent releases, in the last, like, 2 or 3 months, you have Final Fantasy 15. You have now, in the span of a month, you got Horizon Zero Dawn, Ghost Recon, Mass Effect Andromeda. You know, it's kind of hard to have these games where there's so much content, which is great. You get value for your money. But in the end, you may just not end up completing the game because it's so large and you just don't have the time to complete these games. Not everyone does. So I would like to think of your opinion on whether or not you think there are just too many open world games and it, you know, all these single player, I guess, linear experiences are being kind of left behind because they feel it's like old, but you know, some of these, the classic format works. So let me know, guys. Take care.
All right. So do you think that, the game falls short comparison to the quality of the game because they didn't add the whole multiplayer for launch? Your thoughts?
No, I mean, let's put it this way. The fact that you're getting the multiplayer afterwards and it's free should tell you all you need to know about the multiplayer. I mean, don't expect a lot from it. Don't expect this groundbreaking multiplayer, but I can see scenarios of putting 4v4, I can't even talk, I'm sorry, 4v4 matches and all of Bolivia is open to you. Something insane like that. You know what I mean? Just the camping and just the stealth that you're going to have to do. I mean, there's a lot of potential in that. Do I think it takes away from what we got at launch? No, because clearly that was not their focus. This focus is open world sandbox co-op shooter. You know, the multiplayer is just an added bonus. I look at it the same way I look at the multiplayer coming from Mass Effect Andromeda. That's not why I'm buying the game. If it turns out to be good, cool. If not, doesn't take away from whatever that experience is going to be for me.
Yeah, and it's really hard to say because they haven't really given us a lot of details on what the 4v4 is going to be. And I don't know if it's a bonus or a negative, but it's something we know they can handle, considering Ubisoft Paris is the one that they gave us the Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter or, you know, Gras 2, etc. We just don't know what's in store since Red Storm isn't going to be involved. In fact, this game and Ghost Recon Phantoms are the only Ghost Recon games that that Red Storm hasn't been involved on, right? They did, though, do work on The Division. I would be surprised if we see something akin to that in the PvP scene there. Maybe not so involved with grabbing loot and trying to get out, but something similar. And that's where I'm going to go with that. Now, as far as the other question that you had, is that really an issue? Is it really a matter of having too much open world? Like, it was just not too long ago where people were complaining that there was too many linear games like Halo. So the developers went and gave us open world games. Now you want to go backwards? Can you? Like, after having all the open choice to go anywhere, do anything, be any place, now you want Pac-Man all over again.
Hey, Pac-Man is fun. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's fun. But after you've been... It reminds me of seeing those videos of you know, puppies that have been stuck in the puppy mill and have never seen the outside, and then they open the doors and they let them out, and it's like the world's greatest event because they're seeing the outside world for the first time. And then you want to shove them right back into the coop and not let them out. It's really, really hard. And maybe I'm just over exaggerating it in that respect, but I mean, how can you complain that there's too many open world games? Isn't that what we wanted?
I think that's good, man.
And I can't.
The more the better. That's what I'm saying.
Paris, we've been playing open world.
Yeah, he's there. I hope. Paris?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Thought you were gone again.
Yeah, it's all good. No, but see, we've been playing open world games since I think the first one I ever played was Mario World for the Nintendo 64. And after that, Zelda. And look, that was in the 90s, when 2017.
Was that an open world game, though?
It is open world. Yes, especially Zelda 64. Yes, is an open world.
You say this like I've played this before. We've covered this.
Well, Pete, I'm just letting you know, yes, it's been happening since the 90s. And look, and it's getting better and better. And I think it's good, man. Keep it up. I think that's great. If you're not into open world games, there's a bunch of other games you could buy. You know, it's up to you, man. Now we have a lot more choices to pick than before. Before it was like, well, we only have like four games out, you know, back in the 80s. You know, so... This is from Joe from Ohio. First off, love the show and extra content with Facebook Live and Twitch now. Well, thanks, Joe. It took Pete to lock himself out to join, but he did. Anyway, I heard rumors that with Destiny 2.0, you can pretty much only carry your characters, but not stats. Just wondering your thoughts on this. Do you think it's good or bad? Thanks. Keep up the good work.
My thoughts is it's a good thing. We need to just go ahead and move on. I mean, think about it. We've been doing these same weapons and gear and everything for 3 years. It's time for a change. So the fact that they're going to honor the people that did play Destiny 1 somehow and Destiny 2, but we all go into Destiny 2 with a clean slate and they can throw in whatever upgrades and new features that they want. I'm all for it. Completely all for it. What about you, Pete?
I'm digging it. I appreciate the fact that they're letting us bring minor things over, skin, you know, character based, but not weapons. It gives us the fresh feeling, but also offers us, you know, that comfort of knowing we can bring something over, that all that time was not lost and wasted. I didn't see the Art of Triumphs or the Act of Triumphs unveiling today. Figured I'd watch that later today or tomorrow. But I'm cool with what they're doing. I think it needs a reset. I think we've had a lot of stuff. We've spent a lot of hours on Destiny's, you know, on Destiny's first iteration and its downloadable content. And it's time for a reset. I think it's time for maybe not a full on reboot, but just enough to start, you know, giving the game an opportunity to branch out and do different things and not be stuck in a rut like a lot of IPs tend to do, similar to like a Mass mm-hmm. Effect, where we got 1, 2, and 3, the story kind of began, had its climax, somewhat ended, and now we're branching out. Hopefully Andromeda is the first of another iteration of the game, and this is what Destiny 2 does. We had that first chunk. It goes off into the sunset. Another one blooms open and spawns up another game instance. You know, hopefully we'll see.
Okay. Well, to answer your question about Age of Triumph, since you didn't watch it, they're bringing back all the raids at 400 light level, which I'm excited about. Plus the book of records, whatever it's called, Age of Triumph book, I guess, 13 pages long with a bunch of different things that even if you think you've done everything already in Destiny, there's still going to be stuff to do. So I'm excited about it. Like, I'm excited for Trey, because my son, because now we'll be able to go do Vault of Glass and it'll actually be a challenge. And there's going to be challenge mode stuff, weekly mode things that they're going to have in there. They're bringing back all the raid gear and the weapons at the appropriate light level so we can get our Fatebringer and Vex Mythoclast and all those things back too. So, I mean, for people that have been playing Destiny all this time, like me, this is just kind of the last couple months, like just a celebration of everything that we've been doing the past 3 years. So it's cool. I mean, I'll participate in it a little bit. And, you know, like because we're talking about this with some of the guys on Twitter. Basically, it looks like what Bungie's going to do is they're going to do Age of Triumph. This is the last update for Destiny 1. This will probably hold us until E3. E3, Destiny 2 comes out. They'll probably have a beta over the summer. That probably will be treated like kind of a prologue into Destiny 2. And then September, boom, Destiny 2. And then I'm gone again. You like, Paris, what you playing? I'd be like, what do you think I'm playing?
This one's going to come from Rudolph. Hi, I'm Rudolph from the Philippines. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Been listening to you through Spotify podcast. My question is, what's your Mount Rushmore of video games? Top 4 greatest games of all time. My second question is, I'm planning to buy an Xbox One. Should I wait for Scorpio or should I buy now the Slim? I'm only buying the PlayStation consoles since it was introduced in the 90s. Thanks, and keep it up, and keep up what you're doing. Godspeed.
All right. Top 4 greatest games of all time. All right. I have a lot of Super Nintendo games, but...
Of all time, not just from back then.
Of all time.
Yeah.
I know. Of all time.
Yeah, I thought about this too, and the crazy thing is, yeah, 3 of my 4 are Nintendo games.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There you go.
I think I already know what one of them is going to be.
P, you know what it is, Paris? P is angry that it's always Nintendo.
No.
Come on, P.
Well, why let us shine. Don't talk for me.
I'm just saying. Anyway, so all right, so I'll tell you two of the top 4.
No,
heroes.
Just give us the 4.
One
why
is,
you got to cheat out.
All right, but let me I'm going to give you 2 from Nintendo. Punk. All right, so one of them is Final Fantasy III, by far my favorite RPG game of all time. Super Metroid, or the Super NES. I have to go with Halo 2. It came out on the original Xbox. And of course, I always mention this, Phantasy Star Online for the Sega Dreamcast.
And for me, it would have to be Mario 3, Mega Man 2, Link to the Past, and then we actually got one in common, Danny. Halo 2, just for the fact Halo of 2. What it did for multiplayer and Xbox Live. I have to put it there.
Yep. Yeah, totally agree. Pete?
All right, well, I'm going to go in reverse order from release. I'm going to say Destiny, because that nearly ruined my life and my wife. Call of Duty 4.
It did.
Call of Duty 4, because that brought me back into hardcore gaming. Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter kind of did, but it wasn't until COD 4 came out that it really got me. And then,
okay,
just like you guys, I have some Nintendo games.
Wow. Yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah. Excitebike. That game has always, but it doesn't matter if I had a Nintendo right now and I had Excitebike, I could just jump on that and play that for hours. And the OG of OGs, Super Mario Brothers.
Ooh, okay. Wow, two Nintendo games.
Yeah, see?
I'm very impressed, Pete.
Ah!
Now, his second question, should he buy an Xbox One Slim or wait for the Scorpio?
At this point, wait for the Scorpion.
Scorpion.
And then
just to see what it is. Just wait until E3 to just see what it is. And at that point, then you can make an educated decision. I mean, we're close enough.
Yep.
You know, we're only a couple months away. Oh, and by the way,
here's a bonus.
I was just going to say, and on that note, Pete, looks like you're going to be wrong, because it looks like Microsoft is going to have a pre-E3 event to show Scorpio.
Oh.
Oh, shots fired.
And that's from the lips of Phil Spencer himself. So there you go. You're wrong. Go back to being wrong.
At least he celebrated for like 2-3 weeks, man. Let him shine, man.
Let me dream.
Oh, by the way, let's say you wait until E3 when they announce Scorpio and everything, and you don't like it, guess what? You could buy the Slim. It might be even cheaper by the holidays. So there you go. All right, next question.
Okay, this one is from, I keep wanting to call him Camaro. I need to say your name right. It is, I can't say it right. It's Camaro. The guy's turning is Camaro. Yeah, it's Camaro. That's your name. Nah, it's Black Flay. He's Black Flay. He's actually on her Discord channel now. But he's saying, what's up, gang? I wanted to ask you guys about the current state of 4K gaming on consoles. I've bought and started playing Horizon in 4K HDR, and it's one of the best looking games I've ever played, including games I've played on PC and 4K. With the Scorpion coming touting 4K gaming and seeing what the PS4 Pro is able to do what it does with Horizon, do you think MS is late to the game? I feel that once released, the Scorpion is not going to make a huge splash. People like me will get it because of the love of tech. However, I don't think most people who own a Pro will have a reason to get the Scorpion. Let me know what you guys think. As always, great job. And he wanted to join the Discord server, which you did. And then he goes, last thing, 1080 Ti, ? Smiley face. Great day to you all. So to answer the first part of what you're saying, I'm in agreement with you. If with what I'm seeing with Horizon Zero Dawn and what the PS4 Pro is already capable of, what can Project Scorpio really do that's going to set it above and beyond? And I think the bigger problem that Microsoft has coming into with Project Scorpio is, what freaking games are we playing? And Danny, you can't say Crackdown 3. Sorry, because it's like literally the only game.
Wow.
That's the only game.
I haven't said anything.
I know. I'm just.
Why are you attacking me?
To the punch.
Why are you
No, but that's my point. Man. They got Crackdown 3, Forza 7. So they need some more tricks up their sleeve if they truly want to make a splash this holiday with Project Scorpio. And to answer his second thing, I'm getting a 1080 Ti. I'm not even messing around. I'm just going to get it. I'm waiting till the third party cards are out. So probably May or June, I'm getting it. There you go. That's my Nintendo Switch, is the 1080 Ti. How about that, Danny? Suck it on your Zelda. All right. Pete, if you want to respond as well,
go for it, Pete.
I'm not gonna lie, the PC guy in me wants to buy a Ti. I don't even care.
I'm just doing it.
Do you have any comments to say about the whole 4K thing and Scorpio, Pete?
No, not really. I don't want to keep talking about it. I just want Microsoft to say it. I just come out, tell us what's in it. Tell us what it's going to be. Tell us when it's coming out, and tell us what the price is at that point. And then going back to even the question from the Philippines, then make your decision.
I think it's time for a Miss Leo prediction here, ladies and gentlemen. Miss Leo.
Hey, darling. This is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. And I've given them my predictions. You hear me?
Here's my prediction. Paris, you said that they might have a pre E3 Scorpio event.
I didn't say it. Phil Spencer said it. Don't put the words in my mouth.
I know, but you were just saying that a few minutes ago, punk. You guys, the listener, you can rewind it. Paris said it. Anyways, here's my prediction. That event, there is all going to be about the hardware. They might show a couple of games. And then E3 is games for the Scorpio.
In other words,
maybe announce.
In other words, 2013 all over again. But continue. Sorry.
Yeah, here's the difference, Paris. I think that the last time it was TV, TV, TV. They're not going to do that this time. They are going to show a lot about the hardware, show some games, and then go all out with more games and also announce the price during E3 and the release date. Agree or not?
I disagree.
All right. Four skews, baby.
you need to quit with that already. Seriously.
Yo, you know what? Hey, he's a spoiler. I was watching a documentary. Four skew makes a cameo in the movie. Four skew wins. That's it.
You're the only one laughing. All right. You realize that?
It was. Come on. People love the four skew. Come on. Paris said he couldn't even drive and heard that episode. Come on, Paris. You know it's true, right? For skew.
I'm not.
Even your dog was loving it too,
I'm
man.
I'm not acknowledging that.
Yeah, you know I'm right.
Yeah.
All right, so anything else? I think we should wrap it up because Paris has to go. Let's wrap it up. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. And yes, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And that's about it. We're going to wrap it up and we'll be back Monday with more content of GTR. Anything else, guys?
No. Follow us on Twitch.
Woo!
There you go. Vicious696 and Pete, yours is P-Rock.
Yep. Same as my Twitter handle.
Or just go to Gamertag Radio, right?
Yeah, yes.
On Twitch.
Twitch.tv/Gamertag Radio. It auto-hosts all of our stuff.
There you go. All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.